This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with Evan Goldberg. Evan, you're still on stage today and clearly working now inside part of the larger Oracle organization. You can leverage a lot of different things. Amongst those are things like blockchain, AI, and the wider technology that Oracle can offer. In terms of AI, NetSuite have had a history of developing some automation within the product. What are you hoping to get out of the Oracle AI PaaS platform?
Fundamentally, I think what we want to do is unleash the creativity of our product people. They're all going to the show and learning about all the different technologies there. And we'll get together after the show as a team and start brainstorming on that. A lot of this stuff is being exposed as services, just like that makes it possible for Oracle's customers to use it. It makes it possible for internal groups at Oracle to use it. Because in a big, big organization like Oracle, sometimes it's almost like you're in different worlds. Basically, spend a lot of time understanding what the services are. And we have tons of ideas of types of things we want to bring in terms of intelligent assistance and machine learning in NetSuite. We have a gigantic list, and I think one of the things that we'll do is go through our list and see if there's some that are made significantly easier by the services that Oracle is exposing.
Do you think it applies to any specific verticals particularly?
The obvious one is retail, just because of the quantity of data they have. If they're doing e-commerce, it starts with the clicks on their website, which even for a modest-sized retailer, it can be quite a large data set. Other verticals, in terms of the sort of Internet of Things, I think that manufacturing generates a ton of data. Understanding how to operate their business processes more efficiently and get product out faster is really useful. I'm particularly interested because order management is such an incredibly crucial part of the business processes that we handle for both distributors, manufacturers, and retailers. And we've already been looking at building intelligence into the order management process in terms of where you ship from and how you can optimize both how fast the customer gets the product and how inexpensively, both for you and for them. There's a lot of opportunity there, and that would be certainly an area that I'd want to look at. On the services side, you definitely hear a lot about learning from, Larry's talked about this, learning from people and making almost judgments. It gets almost to that scary level at some point about what kinds of employees are successful at your company. We don't have massive data sets of employee data. Companies are of 1,000 employees or 500 employees. There's definitely info to be gleaned there, and there's also a lot of info maybe to be gleaned across companies. So I think one of the things that's going to be interesting for us is to pool some of our data across companies, obviously with anonymized and with their agreement to participate. And we've talked about this for a long time. We do it a lot internally, kind of anonymized, to understand how they use NetSuite. Those are areas that we can apply a lot of these big data and machine learning techniques to.
Very similar to the way that Xero do in New Zealand, in terms of they have a very large data set of New Zealand businesses. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Well, I'm not familiar with what they do, but we have the entire sum of our data is billions of transactions and something like 1 million users, and there's definitely a lot of interesting data there, and it's just a question of how you segment it. If you look at industry, we have thousands of companies. There's a lot to analyze there, and it's a rich mine of data.
Larry obviously announced the Autonomous Database on Sunday. I think that you actually worked on the database in Oracle originally.
I did, a long, long time ago.
You've seen that get to this point now. What do you think of that, and where do you think it can go?
We run thousands of databases at NetSuite, so we're very interested in any technology that's going to make that more reliable. We've had great reliability, but sometimes there are database issues that arise. We'll pass that benefit on to our customers. They won't really know that we're using it. They'll just know that their service is staying up. Like I talked about this morning, we exist to shield our customers from the vagaries of the latest and greatest database, but they certainly indirectly take great advantage of it.
Is there a timing to move across?
We are in the process of migrating to 12.2, I believe. In the next few months, everybody's going to be on it. Just got to make sure we're on the version that has all these capabilities in it. But we try to stay current as much as possible, given that any database migration is a very, very serious. We take it very, very seriously, and it takes a while.
Also, the announcement was around the automated but not autonomous cybersecurity. And security is obviously a key issue for all ERP companies. Being now part of the wider Oracle, do you see that as something you can publicly leverage?
Absolutely. At the core, we're storing our data in Oracle, and we're using a lot of Oracle technology for a bunch of different things. It's our app servers, and so we're reliant on Oracle security. They take it extremely seriously like we do. We have to do a lot of things on our own also, and I think we'll be able to share some of the things we do with some of the other services at Oracle. When we were an independent company, this was risk number one. We always took this the most seriously of any risk, and we developed some pretty interesting internal technologies that I'm sure we'll be able to share with the other services at Oracle. So it'll be a two-way street, but we're very excited about jumping on that stuff immediately.
There's a lot of other announcements this week with Oracle and some quite interesting technology announcements as well around the GPUs, for example. What are you excited by and what are you hoping the next week can really take advantage of?
It's funny because when I got on stage this morning, there was a bunch of big flames and I was thinking, yeah, this is just how all accounting software and business software should be, with flames. Because we get excited about it. I was like, well, we brought that over from Oracle Arena because our audience gets as excited about new accounting standards and planning and budgeting software as NBA fans get excited about a finals game. Actually, the planning and budgeting cloud service that we announced today, I think, is hugely important to our customers as they grow. That's one of the things that, as you mature as a company, you have to mature how you plan and forecast. And our ability to bring this very powerful technology, but in a way that it can be consumed by NetSuite customers, I think is going to be super helpful. So I'm excited on the behalf of them that they're going to get access to some great planning and budgeting. So yeah, that's just one of the things that I'm jazzed about.
What's next for Evan in terms of over the next year? What are you going to be focusing on?
I said this morning that the more things change, the more things stay the same. My responsibilities as part of the NetSuite GBU are very similar to what they were as part of NetSuite Inc., and I have largely the exact same team I was working with. And so my job is to make sure that everybody on my team feels motivated and loves what they do, and that we're building the right things for our customers. So that's kind of the banal answer. To get more specific, I think this is the year that we make major progress on what we've been talking about with intelligent assistants. And we have a list of projects, as I said. We have a team dedicated to it, and now we have these resources at Oracle and technology resources and human resources that we can tap into to really identify where we can add value for customers. So that's definitely something that both me and Gary Wiesinger, who runs product management, are really excited and really doubling down on. I mean, again, it's not necessarily what our customers, it's number one on their mind, but we always try to leap ahead and think about what they'll be asking for in a couple years. At the same time, you know, a significant amount of our effort is just going to be going into the internationalization, the verticals that we've been talking about. We have some great projects that we've been working on for many years, really replacing some of the underpinnings of NetSuite, but doing it in a way that customers will just wake up one morning and they'll have this shiny new object. And so we're doing this in analytics, we're doing this in user interface, and those projects have been going on for a few years, and I'm really excited over the next couple of years to see them come to fruition, and I think customers are going to really love what we've been working on.
One of the things that came out yesterday was the announcement around blockchain as a service. Is now the Oracle blockchain as a service is available through NetSuite as well. The impression I got from Oracle is they're not delivering services themselves, or not really delivering services themselves. They're almost letting their customers create those services that use blockchain. Is that similar within NetSuite?
That our customers, being maybe not having all as many IT resources as some of Oracle's other customers, will be reliant on partners. And so I think the major constituency for the APIs, the Suite Cloud APIs to the Oracle Blockchain Service, are partners, our SDN, Suite Cloud Developer Network partners, that over the years have built cutting edge things that we wouldn't necessarily do in-house for particular industries, for particular verticals or micro verticals. And so I think that's our first goal, is to target them and make sure that they know about this and are thinking about how it could be used. Very, very early days. And we can mine our data and see how many people are transacting in Bitcoin in the NetSuite network. So that'll give us some indication of the penetration of cryptocurrency within. It's quite low right now, so it's very early days.
NetSuite supports Bitcoin then?
Well, we support all currencies.
You obviously opened the registry for the Bracker Foundation recently. It's the cancer charity that you're very involved with or founded. How's that going?
It's great. We're just a little organization. It's not like NetSuite with 5,500 employees, so things go a little bit more slowly. But yeah, we've been talking to a bunch of scientists about what they think would be sort of the next step. I mean, I probably have said this before. I really do believe that organizations, charitable organizations, need to be combining forces and working together. It's great that some are going off and being startups, but the beauty is, unlike all these startups that are competing with each other and often fail, really they're fundamentally not in competition. All the philanthropic organizations that are trying to help find solutions for cancer, they're all on the same team. So I think one of the things we need to do is combine forces in some ways with other organizations that are trying to do the same thing. So I think we're experimenting, testing. We've got something up and running where we can feed information to BRCA patients. And now in terms of leveraging that, I think we have to develop some good partnerships with content organizations that can provide content, organizations obviously that may want to do studies. Those could be, you know, medical institutions and organizations that can help us grow up. So really I'm thinking most deeply right now on the BRCA Foundation of developing the appropriate partnerships.
And that I assume is international, not just US and UK.
Absolutely. We're already talking to Hadassah that operates hospitals in Israel because there's a high prevalence of BRCA in Israel due to the high proportion of Ashkenazic Jews. So that's just one example. I think there's got to be more international collaboration for sure. Another organization that we're working with here in the U.S. that I'm also involved with is the V Foundation for Cancer Research, and we raised $7.2 million this summer for BRCA research. So that's one of the most successful things we've done so far.
And you have the register that you just started a few months ago. How many people have you got on that, or is it early days?
It's a few hundred right now, and we're reliant on one mechanism of getting people in there. There's a family testing program through Color Genomics where they can sign up and optionally join the registry if they are BRCA positive, regardless of whether their result was from Color or from another tester. And then their first-degree relatives can get highly discounted tests. And Color just announced a $99 BRCA test. So that's really exciting. So I think that pursuing that partnership, it's going to grow just because they're going to grow. And there's other partnerships we're going to have to develop to feed people into the system.
Because it was $250 and they offered the $50 for family. So is that the $250 has come down to $99 because they're doing more testing?
Well, no, this is specifically only a BRCA test. You can optionally add on the other genes. I don't have the exact details of it. I saw the headlines like everybody else does. It's very, very exciting. There was a nice little piece here in the U.S. on a national television show. I believe it was Good Morning America. So a lot of publicity around it. Obviously within reach of most people, not all people, but most people that might want to get tested.
Thank you very much, Evan.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.